Díobh galeirta fáilta rút go díon úr gaelic an seo ar chinne go seacht ní ar an oíche luan seo. Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, and we're coming to you right from the heart of the market in Ottawa, where there's lots of activity. I had an opportunity to sit around or walk around the market before I came here into the studio, and I walked over to my wonderful sponsors, the Irish Village, whom I'm very grateful for. And by the way, I would not be on the air were it not for the generosity of Larry Bradley and all the team at the Irish Village. And I walked in there down to Roisin Doves before I came in, and there's a wonderful session going on down there. The Cultus group are down there sitting around sharing their music with anybody who wants to go in and sit down. So if you happen to be down around the market on a Monday night, you can head into Roisin Dove. No cover charge, wonderful atmosphere, and enjoy some traditional Irish music. This program is coming to you over the airways at 97.9, but it's also streaming live on the internet, and you can catch the feed on my website, which is www.thegaelichour.ca. And on that website also there's an archive section where we keep the Monday night programs going back to when we started broadcasting in September of 2005. We also keep the Tuesday program, which is a music program, and we leave that up there for 1 week. We also have a calendar, and on the calendar we try, and all I can say is we try to list some of the events that are going on in the city. It's very hard to keep up with things, and I rely some of the time on people feeding me information so as I can keep my calendar updated. But I noticed that the Immersion Week is going on down at Tamworth at the moment, and of course that is at the only Gaeltacht that is outside of Ireland. So we're very honoured here in the province of Ontario, and within about a 2 hour drive of here, to have that Gaeltacht. And on Wednesday, July 30th, the Ottawa Irish men's first rugby team are playing the Ottawa Beavers, and that's out at Twin Elm. I lose track of myself at times. That's out at Twin Elm. And of course, then Wednesday to Saturday, every week, there's music down at the Heart and Crown, and also over at Mother McGinty's, or the Heart and Crown on Preston Street, the Poorhouse, or the Old Dubliner. And again, they're all part of the Irish Village group of companies, as is the James Street Pub. So if you happen to be in any of those areas down Bank Street, drop into the James Street Pub also. And one of the other things I must tell you about is on Saturdays at 4 p.m, you can go down to St. Bridget's, the Irish Canadian Cultural Centre, and hear Gus and Echoes of the Rideau. And that is after visiting the Rideau Canal, you can make your way down to the Barwood Market and enjoy. You just never know who might turn up at this production of Ghosts and Echoes of the Rideau. But one of the things we try and do during the summer is keep you up to date with the Irish language, and here we have Liam O'Mahony telling us about some travelling.
Tiarich, my name is Liam O'Mahony. There are no books required for this course. Simply sit back and prepare to learn or relearn a range of Irish language expressions that you can then use in your everyday life. The featured words and phrases are easy to learn, lessons lasting approximately 10 minutes each. I will speak the phrase in English, and then I'll say the same thing in Irish. I will then go on to the next phrase. So, let's begin. Lesson 11, sports. These phrases relate to sport, so listen carefully and repeat after me. I like sport. Is ma liom sport. Do you enjoy sports? On that nian sport lat. Playing sport is a great way to keep fit. Balach an wa le cunoil slointuil isha on sport. Televised sport is boring. Ta sport na telefiche ladronach. Sport teaches kids resilience and team skills. Moin in sport, shkilina firma da fashti. Now listen to these phrases and repeat. I enjoy sports. Taknian sport lum. Do you like televised sports? On mylat sport eran telefish. Now try saying, kids enjoy sports. Bwinin poshti salt as sport. Football. Unfell. I watched a soccer match last night. Deach mer chlihe soccer rare. Are you following the All-Ireland Championship? Will tu iglanoint, Craiv na hÉireann? I admire him as a sportsman. Tá an vasa go mar, mar ar sport. The team needs a new manager. Tá bainisteoir nua ag tástáil ón Mhuireann. The fans need to see some success. Tá tóra ag tástáil ón Lucht Leanúna. The team were very fit. Bí an Éireann am ach lí. The score was 1 goal, 2 points to 11 points. Cool agus chá fuinte go héan fuinte déag a bhí mar score. The crowd invaded the pitch after the final. Rinne an slua unra ar an bárc I níag an chluiche. Now, listen to these phrases and repeat. The fans invaded the pitch. Rinne an lucht leanúna unra ar an bárc. I admire him as a manager. Tá an vasa go mar mar bainisteoir. Now try saying, I watched the All-Ireland final last night. Déach mé ar chraobh na hÉireann ar air. Different sports. My favourite sport is tennis. Le dóg an sport is fearrliom. I prefer hurling. Is fearrliomsa an umánaíocht. I enjoy water sports. Is ma liomsa sports isce. I admire the Irish Olympic rowing team. Tá an vasagum Iran umrha Olympic na hÉireann. She is great at athletics. Tá sí siúd go hiontach ag an lúch leasíocht. Is there a golf course nearby where I can have a round of golf? An bhfuil golf chúrsa in ach a láimhe áit a mecht mé anán cluiche golf a imirt. We play tennis with a racket on a court. Imrimid ladog le racket court ladoige. We train 2 nights a week. Bimid ag trenoil cha ihe se techtin. Now listen to these phrases and repeat. My favourite sport is hurling. Si amánaíocht an sport is fearrliom. I play golf on a golf course. Imrim golf. Golf chúrsa. Now try saying my favourite sport is tennis. Si leadóg an sport is fearrliom. Now try saying I enjoy water sports. Buinim tainiv a sport isce.
We thought we were going to learn about travelling tonight, but we actually learned about sport. So we'll make up for it. We'll travel back next week. We'll go back to the future or something, but we'll get the travelling done. But if you were confused, that was sport, and I'm sure you caught on to it. And you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on 297.9 FM. Well, I am talking about this. You're listening to Colm Keogh in the background with some slip jigs. I do put a playlist up. If you want to see the music that we play, you can go onto the website, click on the playlist button, it'll bring you out. And I have the music, the list of music come back nearly a year at this stage. So it'll give you a flavour of the kind of music that I play here on the show. And there on the playlist side, you can go in and fill in a form that'll let you send me an email. And that way, if you'd like something played, I get a sense of what you would like, and it would make it easier to select some of the music. Likewise, if you have any other suggestions, don't be shy about sending me an email. Everything I get in from you is helpful, and it just helps in putting programs together, and that is my source of information a lot of times. And I should mention, by the way, on the 12th of August, the Heart and Crown, the 16th annual golf, celebrity golf tournament is going on, and that'll be up at Mount Cascade. That's going to be my one day of golf this year by the looks of it. And hopefully I get to hit a ball somewhere straight that day and have a bit of fun. And then October 15th, it's a bit far out at the moment, but the Makeham and Spain brothers will be coming, and that'll be to Centre Point, and we'll give you more information on that as time goes on. But we're coming around to that time of the year when their celebrations happen down at the Rideau Canal at the Celtic Cross. And coinciding with that, there is a book that is in the process of getting close to being launched. And the book is called From Worksite to World Heritage Site. And it's subtitled Labourers on the Rideau Canal, 1826 to 1832. And it's edited by Dr. Catherine McKenna. I have Kevin Dooley in studio with me to talk about the book, because Kevin is very close to the history of the Rideau, the canal, and has worked on researching and all other aspects of it. Kevin, welcome to the
Gaelic. Thanks very much.
From Worksite to World Heritage Site, tell us about the book.
It's a collection. It's published by Borealis Press, Frank Tierney Sr. of Borealis Press here in Ottawa. They've been around for about 35 years, and they're a well-known heritage specialist in Canadian heritage material. And what the book is a collection of canal documents published by Parks Canada, commissioned by Parks Canada. So it's a very important direct source of information here on who and what and how the Wuda workers were, where they came from. And were published as two main historians here, Dr. William N.T. Wiley, who's now head of, or maybe retired, but he was head of the National Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada, and Dr. Catherine McKenna, mm-hmm. who's the editor of the book, and she's at History at Western in Ontario. Now, these particular papers, as such, were commissioned by Parks Canada for the 150th anniversary of the canal, but they weren't published. So they ended up in microfiche in the Cornwall Library. And in our work and in our research, for various reasons, we came upon this work, and our group, the Canal Workers Commemorative Group, the Rideau Canal Celtic Cross Committee, all when we were doing the work on the cross and getting the cross. The other side of it was finding out as much information. And quite honest with you, there was not a lot available on the real hardcore information and who, what, when, where, and how those workers were until we hit those documents. We fished them out. We asked Parks Canada last year during the 2007 and 175th anniversary for the World Heritage Site, would they publish these documents? For very many reasons, budgets and politics and within the organization of that, they said no. But then there was a change in direction sometime later in the year, and they released copyright to our group.
Okay.
And then we looked around for a suitable publisher, and Borealis Press is the choice.
So the document, as I said, what you have in effect is a collection of historical documents.
Two main historical documents that are very, very thorough. The first one is called Disease, Distress and Debt, the History of the Rideau Canal Workers. And the second title, that's Dr. Wiley's, which is the first one, in the collection we got anyway. And the second work by Dr. Catherine McKenna, and these are eminent historians. It's very, very detailed, very researched, very readable too. Mm-hmm. It's not dry. It's a great read. We have, it's called The Human Cost of a Public Work.
Okay.
So it shows the nitty-gritty of canal workers' life.
Right.
And it shows definitely the Irish stories, predominantly an Irish story, because most of the labour, the actual labouring, hacking, digging the canal was done by Irish labourers who, some were here, but most of them came in from Ireland.
Right.
And we know that the tragedy, it was a tragedy, as the caption in the book says, it was difficult and tragic. Now, tragic is an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
We know the death rate was very high. And we know now when we read these books and we have the evidence of the players of the day, it is excellent history. It is very, very well done. And what we found now is other work on it. We found more. Dr. Catherine McKenna has added a preface of about 15 pages of new work,
okay.
A bit more about the families and the women and children. And then Dr. Bruce Elliott from Carleton here has added another brilliant chapter, an appendix called How to Research Your Canal Ancestors.
Okay.
We feel it is the definitive landmark text on the canal. It finally puts the story on the page.
And when you say it puts it on the page, when will it be on the page and available to people to actually go and start reading it?
It's
scheduled for when?
Mid-September.
So it's due to hit sometime mid-September.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be a bit of publicity around that when it comes to that. So moving a little away from that and yet staying very much on topic, of course, we have the celebrations coming up in the canal on the 4th, isn't it?
The 4th, yeah, it's Colonel By Day. Now, that's a day that's connected with Bytown Museum, Colonel By. But given that it's down on the canal, you know, right down beside the locks at the bottom here, what we've incorporated, the Irish community and the Rita Canal Celtic Cross Committee and the Labour Council, all the players that were involved in that project have felt that. And Parks Canada and the city and Bytown Museum, everybody goes along. Everybody find that we've added another element to the Colonel By Day is a commemoration of the canal workers at the cross, right down there at Bytown Locks.
And that's at 1:45, I see.
Yeah, with speakers and traditional musicians.
And, as you said, that's down at the Celtic Cross. And if anyone doesn't really know where the Celtic Cross is, it's, as Kevin says, approximately across from the Bytown Museum. It's I know that the bit of work was being done to clear the bush around it to make it more visible, etc. And as you said, there will be musicians and some other festivities going on also. So the other aspect of that, of course, is that within the Bytown Museum itself, there's an awful lot of history relative to all that, and anyone that goes down should. Anything else, Kevin, that we need to cover on that? How much is this book going to cost, by the way?
$20.
Right.
And it's and it includes two original sketchings by the famous John Burroughs in colour on the thing, and so we feel it's a beauty, and it's a nice text. Borealis will have it out. It'll be out in the mainstream.
Right.
It's very much it's a Canadian heritage book. We feel it belongs to everybody because even though the Irish have a big part of it, the other workers are covered on it too. Mm-hmm. And on the front of the book is the emblems of the four groups of workers: the French, the Scottish, the Irish, the four colours of the four Celtic races. There's four flowers on there anyway. The thistle, the English workers, and the English soldiers. And the research shows that, and at the end of the day, the research shows that the canal involved a lot of hard hardship and labour. And it sort of shows the sort of hard blood, sweat and tears that went into building the country. So it kind of incorporates the whole heritage of that period. So it's more than just a little book about one aspect. It's a huge picture. World Heritage Site, and then it was built by these people. So it has a big picture here. You know?
One of the other aspects of the big picture, of course, is there's a friend of mine down in the Arlington and or in the DC area, and I was talking to them on the phone last weekend, and they were heading off to a Celtic Cross memorial ceremony down around there, celebrating the Irish workers who had built canals.
The
same, of course, down around New Orleans, that the Irish workers were the ones that built the canals down around there.
There's an interesting content about who our people were. We were a modern nation now, but our early settlers, as one historian counted, were navvies and nannies. The women were mostly domestic workers, and the men were mostly navvies. And out of that, we've grown, of course, into a country that we're practically part of the oligarchy here. And we number among our heritage prime ministers and CEOs and everything. Right. But I think with all due respect to honouring our ancestors who laboured with their hands is worthy, a worthy job. And this book shows it. It all links it all together, you know.
Indeed it is. And with that, we're going to leave you, Kevin, and
thank you for coming on.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. We'll be back with you after these messages.
One man set himself the task 10 years ago of recording some of the old ways of farming that have virtually disappeared in his own lifetime. Michael Lyons from the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon.
This is the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon. I was born here. In the late 40s, my father was farming and out working for hire with horses, cutting hay and corn. At that time, most of the work on the farm was done by horses, except for the thrashing, which was done by either steam or tractor. In the early 50s, the tractor became more popular and the horse started to disappear off the land. My father taught me the old ways of farming, and this video shows some of these old ways, as well as the transition from horse to tractor and other aspects of life in rural Ireland at that time.
To purchase your copy of the Old Ireland DVD, visit www.thegaelichour.ca and follow the links.
Fortune's Favour, the new album from Canada's own Great Big Sea.
Featuring the inspiring first single, Walk on the Moon.
Get Great Big Sea ringtones and more. Text GBS to 311 311. Data charges may apply.
Great Big Sea, Fortune's Favour, on sale now at all CD warehouse locations. You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron. A few weeks back, I was down in San Diego on a business trip, and I haven't, perchance, come across an Irish outreach centre down there. And when I was down, I did an interview with the director of that outreach centre and some of the people who were over looking for summer work on J-1 visas. And Bernda Cashman is the director. And this is what I recorded.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. And I am now talking with Bernadette Cashman, formerly Bernadette McNamara, from just outside Athenry in County Galway. And Bernadette, you are running this outreach centre. You'd be the director or the whatever the title would be.
I am the chairperson or the president. My name is on everything. So.
You're responsible.
Somewhat, yeah.
How long has the outreach centre been here?
The idea began in 1998.
Okay.
Actually, it was not necessarily my idea, but I was familiar with the challenges of Irish people when they would come into this part of the country. There was no official place to really get answers to real problems. So in 1998, a lovely little beautiful priest came from Cork by way of the Episcopal Commission for Immigrants in Ireland, and the bishop sent them out.
Okay.
They traveled throughout the United States. At that time, they settled first into New York, places like Philadelphia, found that those cities were well established with Irish organizations, and they already had begun to do this work similar to what I'm doing.
Okay.
When they came west, they traveled to San Francisco, and there was nothing there that was officially set up to handle real issues. And so San Francisco became a reality. It's called the Irish Pastoral Center out there. When they came down to this part of the country, there was absolutely nothing that would provide those services. So they just said, you can do it.
Okay.
And without realizing the enormous responsibility of it, it became, and it does, we provide a lot of services today. But we started out with the idea, and we started and opened a bank account and had a fundraiser, and just it took off from there.
When I look at the headline on the paper, first of all, it's volume 1, number 3 of the San Diego Irish Reporter, and it's a free paper. So that predates here a little. Where was the stimulus for the paper, or who drove that as a start?
Actually, it was some local business people who began to provide this local newspaper. They are no longer in business.
Okay.
But we were the headlines at that particular time, and within 6 months they were not able to continue to produce that.
Is there a strong Irish community in the San Diego area?
You know, when this began, we, according to the census, we were about 7,000 Irish in San Diego County. Needless to say, we are in a city with very, very high cost of living. Anthony will agree. And for the young people, Irish people who come into San Diego starting out, it's a challenge, because there are other cities who pay more money for the same jobs, much more than they do here in San Diego.
So what kind of money is somebody having to pay for pretty basic accommodation on average? Even if they're sharing. So if you get three or four people sharing, what kind of money might they have to pay?
Well, you're talking about here in our situation here with what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You're talking about a hostel running about $23 per day to shared accommodations in one university that we have all just now secured, which is about the same, but there's more privacy in the university accommodations than there is in the hostel.
So
you're going from that range then all the way up to as much as $6,000 for a three-bedroom.
So you're looking at a basic of $750-$800 a month, and that's really, really kind of...
It's steep.
That's very basic.
It's basic, yes. It can go much higher.
No, but I'm saying basic, at the bottom of the... You're looking at about $750-$800 a month.
Yes.
Right.
Then with that, because the students are here only temporarily and they don't have a track record of credit, and so they become a liability for most landlords. So in that case, a landlord is looking for a big security deposit and sometimes 3 months rent in advance.
Okay.
So that's a tall order.
So when people arrive over, predominantly students, you assist them with getting banking sorted out, providing them general information as regards where are good areas to look for accommodation and what
exactly.
the bad areas are.
Exactly.
Social security number.
Yeah. We, for the first time in the past, the Social Security office was bombarded with numbers. Last year we had close to 3,000. And the office of the Social Security just were inundated, and we approached them this year and asked if we could be of assistance and bring them over here, and they were really delighted. It afforded them the opportunity to have all one category. They're all J-1s, they're all legally able to work, so they have come to our and are going to be part of our five orientations that we conduct for those services.
So last year you said you saw something in the numbers of what how many people would have come through last year?
Somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 last year.
And it's looking like it'll be on the same
year? Yes, it looks like it's going to be very close to that. We will not have all those numbers in for another month.
Now, a lot of the people that are here this morning would be predominantly their third level, either finished or in third level.
Yes.
So they're here, as you say, for the summer period. The type of work that they're able to find, what areas of the economy are...
They can actually find various kinds of work that lend itself to seasonal. Employers here are not going to be interested in investing in an employee that's going to be here for 3 months. Even in the restaurants and the pubs. Pubs are very strict here. There's a book of rules that they really have to go to a bartending school to get to really familiarize themselves with the laws in California. And the age requirement, you have to be 21. Those kinds of jobs are not as assured of as the kinds of jobs that provide the services that the tourism is driven by.
Okay.
And so tour sightseeing companies, Elite Services is one of the big companies here, SeaWorld is here, and they love to have seasonal employees come for 3 or 4 months and they go back.
So over the years, I was a little surprised, as I know we chatted yesterday, just even to find an outreach center here in San Diego, because my listeners would expect to find this type of service in New York and Chicago, maybe San Francisco. But our perception of San Diego would be that it's Mexicans coming across for casual labor. What inspired where is the history that has brought the Irish to this part of California?
I think it's the lure of Tijuana. And if you haven't, you know, caught up with the stories that are circulating and are real in Tijuana, it's become a very dangerous place to be. And I think that is a big lure, even though San Diego has its beautiful beaches and beautiful scenery and is a destination town with cruise ships going out, and it's a beautiful city. Besides that, we're only a 35 to 45 minute trolley ride, where in Mexico, Irish people are welcome.
Okay.
Because there's a deep history of Ireland and Mexico going back to the Civil War.
Yes.
And so that they do relish and welcome the Irish, except we see a lot of danger in that relationship because it's night, the nighttime, mm-hmm. and the parties. And there is a specific club in Tijuana that loves to see the Irish.
Okay.
But we try to advise of the dangers, as we should, prior to going there.
So an organization like yours here needs funding.
Absolutely.
Has the Irish government does the Irish government support this?
Yeah, well, in the first couple of years we were on our own.
Okay.
And they saw a need to help us. So they do give us some funding. However, 70% of our existence is by fundraising. And we put on a golf tournament in September, because September is when we became a reality. And we have it here in Coronado Golf Course, and it's beautiful. So we try to generate as much as we can on that basis to keep us really afloat.
Okay. And what would you, what would you say have been your biggest challenges in running the center and keeping the center going?
Well, funding might be one of the bigger ones, because we have to project where we're going and how to expand. We started with one little room and a phone and a business card, and we have transitioned into an office in another part of town and found that we still had to expand our space. Mm-hmm. And so this even now could be expanded. As you see today, there's people everywhere. We could have expanded this to almost twice the size. However, during the course of the year, after the students have gone back, we don't necessarily need to utilize all the space, but we have to have it available.
Right. Now, one of the things that the age group you're dealing with would probably be very involved in would be the GAA. Mm-hmm. Is there a GAA club here in San Diego?
There is a GAA club, yes.
And it's quite active?
It is, and they have just instituted a minor league, and it's very it's received very well, not necessarily by Irish people, but people who are maybe generations removed from being Irish.
Right.
But they love the game, they love the speed of it, and it's so different, and they're just there. It's amazing.
Is there a strong music scene here, and being traditional in the form of cultists or?
No, we don't have a. We have a traditional Irish language. We have the language, the Gaelic. That's being taught on Sundays at a place called the House of Ireland. It is a small house, a replica of the World's Fair of 1925.
Okay.
And there are other houses representing other cultural groups. And it is in there that they teach the Gaelic, and they also will allow to teach any instrument.
Okay.
And that's only on a Sunday. It's a leased property from the city of San Diego. So it's not owned by the Irish community.
Okay.
And yes, we have fairly decent musical talent all around.
Right.
And
if you were to look back at the time when you came here and the way things are now, things have changed very much in Ireland. And things have changed very much here. How would you comment on that?
Well, I think we all know, because of the prosperity of Ireland, it has become a different, even the culture is changing. I think it's important, if I were to spend a month in Ireland prior to the students coming out, I would love to see a concept being instituted in Ireland, because you cannot ever stop people from coming to America. In our case and in our situation, I would love to see education within the universities from an on-the-ground source in these areas where they're coming to. I would love to see that as part of the curriculum if students are going to travel abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. It would be very beneficial for those who are in universities to learn about the culture in advance, to even have a quiz before they apply for a visa as to what do you know about the culture on the ground in San Diego. What do you know? If you're going to Russia, you need to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be very beneficial, because in today's world, in our age of homeland security here, there are, you know, issues that if you ignore them here, if you spent 3 months here and you violated some rules, you need to really pay attention so that it doesn't prevent you from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're prevented from coming back, it's there's some glitch on your stay in the past.
Right.
Which is not a problem.
Serious consequences.
Could have, but it doesn't have to if they address it when it happens. Yeah. And that's what we're here to help.
Well, Bernadette, I've taken enough of your time because I know you're busy working with some of the people that are here, and I want to thank you very much indeed for talking.
It was great talking with you too. And say hello to everyone in Canada for us.
Warab's key tags aren't just for car owners. Anyone can get them, and they're for any keys you want to protect.
Recently, I lost the keys to my car, house, and office. Also on that key ring was my car starter and my Warab's key tag. Imagine my surprise when my keys were returned by courier from the Warab's a few days later. What peace of mind.
Look for your Warab's key tags in the mail or order them at 1-800-250-3030 or warab's.ca.
The little Irish village with the heart and crown is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish village.
Visit the Rideau Canal and then make your way to the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre at the former St. Bridget's Church, a church built by many of those who constructed the canal, and enjoy Ghosts and Echoes of the Rideau. This collection of ghost stories, legends, folklore and reenactments is performed within the walls of this Gothic church by Parks Canada players and truly gives the Rideau Canal experience. You're never sure who might appear at Ghosts and Echoes of the Rideau, 4 p.m. every Saturday during July and August. National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre, 310 St. Patrick Street, Byward Market.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'm sitting at the Irish Outreach Centre in San Diego talking to Brenda McAvoy. And Brenda's over from Johnstown in County Kilkenny, and she's come in here to the Irish Outreach Centre to get some help because she's just recently arrived. Brenda, tell us a little about yourself, where you are in your life and career, and what brought you over to San Diego for the summer.
Well, I'm from Kilkenny originally. I went to college in Galway for 4 years studying environmental engineering. There's three of us over here for the summer, myself and Siobhan English and Claire Gunning. The three of us met in college and we just decided to go travelling for the summer. San Diego, probably taking most of California, and then we're heading back over to New York for a week at the end. We started off actually in Chicago for 5 days, and it was very good over there. I really enjoyed that and stuff. It was good.
So before you came over, was it in your plans to come to San Diego, or are you just kind of freelancing as you...
No, we decided to base ourselves in San Diego because it was kind of... close to go a few things, like, so good idea.
So since you've arrived, how are you finding things from the point of view of getting settled?
It's good. It's hard to get accommodation because I think everybody's kind of, a lot of people are kind of against the Irish, probably because of the reputations they've got in previous years. But at the same time, I suppose you can have to respect that because they probably did get a bit of a...
When you say that, what do you mean?
Well, like, the Irish over here have a reputation of being party animals and wrecking places and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I suppose that's not really fair on people coming either because... everybody's different from that,
right.
But everybody will sort themselves out, so it should be grand.
Right.
Jobs, like, there seems like there's a lot of places, a lot of opportunities in San Diego because it's so big. Like, we were in Montauk in America before, that sort of thing, and it's so much smaller. Like, it's harder to get jobs over there, but in San Diego, like, it's a huge city, like,
yeah.
So it shouldn't be too bad to get a job, I don't think. That's right. The general feeling.
Given that there are so many immigrants or people come across the border from the Mexican side,
mm-hmm.
do you find that the type of jobs that you might be able to get, that the Mexicans may be in there before you, or just that there aren't enough, what would be short-term casual jobs available?
I don't know, I haven't really thought about it. Like, yesterday was our first real day of job hunting, and it seemed like everybody was pretty interested. Like, they were all kind of... Actually, they were kind of intrigued by the Irish. A couple of places, they kind of went in, they were kind of looking at me, shake my hand, kind of like a...
Lovely accent.
Wow, it's... Whoa, where'd you come from?
Right.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. I've got a call back today, so... might be positive, so...
Okay. And then you're here until when? The end of August?
Until September, yeah.
September.
Yeah.
So the goal is to make some dollars and see the
make some dollars, have a good summer in that, and go home. And
so with environmental engineering, what are the opportunities like for you when you get back home, do you think?
Well, I actually have a job lined up for when I go back home, starting in October.
Okay.
So where
will that be?
In Dublin, in Dunleary.
Okay.
A company called RPS.
Right.
So, yeah. So hopefully it'll go well.
Good. The journey over here, you stopped off in Chicago for a while, I believe.
Yeah.
How did you find that?
It was very good. We were kind of sad to be leaving it, because it was a place you would like to settle down to. It's a lovely city. To be honest, I'd probably nearly prefer it to New York.
Okay.
But it is. It's a lovely city. There's a lot of Irish bars over there, and we even ran into a good few people on J1s as well.
Okay.
But kind of working out where everybody goes is that bit harder. Like when we were in New York before, in Montauk, everybody goes to the same place on a Monday night and the same place on a Tuesday night. Whereas over there, it's harder to work out where everybody's going, because it's so spread out. It's kind of a little bit the same over here, but you're just going to have to suss
it. You just mentioned the people on J1s. My listeners would not be that familiar with J1 visa.
Yeah.
Are they plentiful? And if so, was it easy to get a J1, and what conditions are you under?
No, it's easy to get a J1 at home. Pretty much anybody in college can get a J1. And a lot of people would do it. I'd say 50, 60, 70% of Irish students probably do go on a J1. It's just a good thing to do. It just broadens your horizons in that, like, I know it was Irish culture has probably gone a bit more Americanized than that, so it's not as hard for us to come over here and work. It's easy enough to settle back into it. Like,
so, what limitations are on you? Like, how long is the J1 valid for?
It's valid, I think it's a 5-month visa.
Okay.
As far as I know, I think you probably started in May, maybe finished in October.
And that allows you then to get Social Security, or to legitimately enter the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you're not operating outside the system?
No.
Okay. Now, for some to come in here to the outreach center, the type of support that is being offered,
mm-hmm.
what are you finding, or what is here for you?
In here?
Yeah.
Well, actually, this place is amazing. I've never seen anything like it before. Like, when we were in Montauk before, there was nothing like this. Like, but this is great. Like, you can talk to people from Ireland, and, you know, it seems like a great place.
Right, so, like, you're getting help in things like banking and your social
There's
support.
A lot of support, like, yeah.
Right.
And I think, like, there was some employers here, I think maybe last week, and they recruited a load of people, like, so.
Okay.
It really kind of sets you up over here.
Okay. And as you say, you didn't find the support on previous in any other city?
No, well, unless it's, I suppose where we were before, it was a small town.
Okay.
Whereas maybe if you were in Chicago or somewhere, there probably might be something like this, but this is amazing me, to be honest.
Excellent. Well, Brendan McAvoy, I hope you get a job when you get the call back.
Hopefully.
And that you enjoy California.
Right.
And now that it's a sunny day today, not like yesterday. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Right. Thank you.
Claire Gunning from Ballygar, welcome to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. We're here in the Irish Outreach Centre in San Diego. Claire, what brought you over here?
Well, I came with Brenda McAvoy there that was talking to you a few minutes ago. I don't know, my sister was here last year and she had such a great time, we decided to come over. So I was persuaded when she came back last year that I was definitely going to do one, and I talked two girls into it. And we just booked it, and she came over and she got work in SeaWorld fairly quickly. She got a house on the beach, and she was just sorted for the summer, and she had a great summer.
Right.
And she came back as mad as hatter. She went to office quite a mess and came back as mad as hatter, so I said, I'm definitely going. And I think it was our last year in college, and we said, like, we're all going back to work, and we just wanted a nice, relaxed summer, and we're going to do a good bit of travelling while we're here. So
what did you study at
university? I was in civil engineering.
Okay, so
me and Siobhan did civil, and then Brenda did environmental, so we're all in the same class practicing in college.
Okay, so when you go back, do you have work?
I don't have work lined up, but I hope to get work in Ireland or London or somewhere.
Okay. Because
certainly
on the construction side of things, it has slowed down very much.
Yeah, all environmental seems to get work a lot easier than, because environmental is such a key word at the moment. But Siobhan's going to London, and most of our class have got work. Like, you'll get work somewhere. London has the Olympics in 2012, is it? So there's a big boom on there at the minute in construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know you've only arrived in the last few days, and this is your first visit to San Diego.
Yeah.
So far, what are your impressions?
Well, we arrived at Banana Bungalow Sunday and we checked into our room and Joanne said to us, oh, wait, there's three Irish guys in our beds. And she goes, oh, yeah, your bed's come with an Irish guy. And we're like, oh, my God. And then it was really good. Good crack there. We're glad to leave yesterday. We went to the motel that we're staying in for the next two nights and we should have a house lined up for tomorrow. But we were staying in the motel and we were just glad to have a nice shower and come out of our room and have comfort.
Okay. Yeah. And you're hopeful that you can get work fairly quickly?
Hopefully, yeah.
So you've come here into the outreach centre and you've been...
I've just opened a bank account with them and trying to sort out about jobs now, but we'll see.
Right, so it's been beneficial that you have somewhere like this?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Is this your first time to come to the US?
No, I was in New York 2 years ago.
Right.
And I was in Florida twice before.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
And how did you find that experience?
New York was shopping experience. Okay. Florida, we just went to two family holidays. Orlando,
so
Disney.
Okay, this is your first work?
This is my first, a day one program, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to keep you any longer because I know you're busy out there. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And hopefully you're going to be very successful today that you're working within a day or two and you have a good summer.
Thanks, Minion. Thank you.
Yeah. Tune into the Gaelic Garret, Chin 97.9 FM.
Conor Kelly, you're here in the Irish Outreach Centre in San Diego. And you're from Nina. What brought you over here?
Well, mostly pleasure, but I hope to find a job as well. So.
We're getting variety, all right. So you're studying at UCC?
Yeah, I am.
What are you doing at UCC?
Biochemistry.
Okay, and how far along are you on
time? Third year, going into my last year now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the prospects like when you do graduate for biochemistry?
Pretty good, because most people don't like science.
So, and where would you see opportunity for you?
Well, there's a lot of science industries and stuff around Cork, so I won't have to go too far. Once I'm qualified, I'll probably just get a job there.
Okay. Because with the downturn in the economy in Ireland, for some people it's not that good at the moment.
Oh, well, there's still loads of jobs available in science, so
right.
I'd say there always will be.
So is this your first summer trip across on a J1?
On a J1, yeah, it is, yeah. Chose San Diego because it's so sunny and loads of things to do.
So you made your choice before you came over. You make your choice on the other side?
I did, yeah. Well, my sister is in San Diego too, so I figured I'd be able to crash with her for at least a week or so.
Okay. And she had been here earlier?
For a couple of weeks, yeah.
Okay, so, and has got established?
Yeah, she kind of, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we may find out in a few moments. So so you're here and you're getting setting up a bank account, getting a social security number,
That's right,
of good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's not too easy to find a job in San Diego, but I kind of need the money. So.
Yeah, so are you a Gaelic football player?
I play a bit of Gaelic football. It's been a while now since I've played. But,
so you're going to tap into the local club here?
I didn't know they had a local club.
Apparently they have a local club and that can often be a good place to find a job.
Good to know, yeah.
So I'm going to let you go on and fill your forms and take some of your
money. All right, thanks. Okay.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM.
Niamh Kelly, we were just talking to your brother. And he said you were here a few weeks.
I got here the 26th of May.
So how has it been for you, seeing that you are here?
It's been good so far. The weather has been lovely.
Have you been able to get a job?
Well, we've got a staffing agency, Elite. We've got some work with them. And I did a bit of work with another staffing agency as well. I did... the soccer match between Mexico and Argentina, and I did a bit of work at the marathon as well last week.
But it hasn't been easy?
It hasn't been too easy to get a job.
Okay.
There's not that many jobs, really.
And then when it comes to getting accommodation?
Well, I had that sorted before I came out.
Okay.
I just went on Craigslist, and I got somewhere.
Okay. And you're happy enough that area it's in? And the
It's near the university, so it's a safe area. It's really nice.
So what attracted you to come to San Diego? The beach and the sun?
Yeah, pretty much sun and something different.
So what do you do back in Ireland?
In Ireland, I'm in Mary Eye, studying to be a primary teacher. Going into my last year now, going into third year.
And the opportunities for you are good when you graduate?
Hopefully they will be. Right. We'll see how I get on with my exams.
Right. Well, good. Well, thanks a million for talking to
me. Thanks.
I hope you have a wonderful summer here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gaelic Hour here on 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. Do come back tomorrow night and we'll have another night music put together for you. This programme will be available on the internet later in the week. I want to thank the continued support that I received from the Irish Village Group of Companies, and without their help this programme would not be possible. On the website there's also a calendar of events which will keep you updated on some of the things that are going on here in the city. And we have the archive section which has the programmes going back to 2005. And in addition, the schedule. So until tomorrow night, when, as I say, I hope you'll come back and join me here on 97.9 FM on the Gaelic Hour with Max on the other side of the glass. This is Austin Camerton saying, Slánga fáil, Culla sáv, Gaji, Aniha, Amorach.
Celts I could not leave behind. Now I close my eyes every time I feel alone, and the sailing ships and the memories, they take me home. Oh, how I long to be in her arms again. Oh, how I long to see those waves come rolling in. And I will leave her nevermore. My Bonnie, my Cape Breton shore. Sometimes the bloom of youth can lead your heart astray, but the miles and the years just to wake you up one day. So close your eyes every time you feel alone, and the sailing ships and the memories that take you home. Oh, how I long to be in her arms again. Oh, how I long to see those waves come rolling in. And I will leave her nevermore. My Bonnie, my Cape Breton shore. My Cape Breton shore. I will leave her nevermore. My Bonnie, my Cape Breton shore.